This is KMUN, Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Quick announcement from 3 to 4 p.m. today. That's in 1 minute. If you're in Astoria, this would work for you. The Lower Columbia Hispanic Council is offering Census 2020 presentation in English. It is today from 3 to 4 p.m. at 1373 Duane Street in Astoria. Phone number is 503-325-4547. Even if you're going to be late, you can give them a call, 325-4547. This will be presented again, I think it's February 13th. I will let you know at that time. But it's a service to the community. It's all about the census. Anything you ever wanted to know or didn't want to know is up for grabs. It is almost time for Arts Live and Local. I hope you're listening in Squamish, Sydney, and Robin, and Omaha, and Seashell, Tessa, and Seven, and Susan in New York, maybe even the West Side. Bob and Viv, Donnie, hope you're healing. Hope we're all healing. And time for arts. If you're up for healing, this is the way to do it. Roger was my guest last week. I hadn't seen the work, but I have now. And I can guarantee you, you will appreciate and enjoy. As I hope you will with all of the arts. Thanks for being here, folks. I'm going to start out with some music from my first guest.
Step by step, I'm gonna pull off all your heart, put it in the earth, where it's harmless, gonna put it in the earth, every step I step. Every step by step, I'm gonna pull off all your heart, plant it in the earth, where it's harmless. They're flowers. free. Blinking, blinking, gonna see a whole new world. You're a powerhouse, my girl. You are power, you are power, you are power.
Yeah. From an album, Michigan Warbler, an album, yeah. Well, this is the one that came with the book, didn't it? Okay. Michigan Warbler and Jenny Q are here in the studio with me, Trust and the High Wire. But I was looking at the artwork on the front. Where did this come from?
I created that.
Oh, okay. This is the voice of Michigan Warbler. And hi, Jenny.
Hi.
I want to make sure we can hear you, too. They live here in Astoria. Lucky us. This is a relatively new development, which we are thrilled about because Michigan was tempting us for years, popping in, playing a little bit, leaving, playing with the tenor guitar.
That's
gathering
right, yeah.
As well. And now Michigan and Jenny are here. And they are going to be giving a gorgeous concert tomorrow evening at Kala. That's 1017 Marine Drive. And that's the home of Hipfish. 8 p.m. Doors open at 7:30. So welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Delighted to have you.
Thanks so much for having us again.
Michigan, you've been here many times.
Indeed.
Jenny, first time?
Second, I guess. Last summer.
Last summer you were at Country Fair.
Yeah, you were at Country Fair.
So
summer.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was wondering how come I haven't. Okay. So this album, was this the first album that you put together this whole collaboration, including...
Yeah, so that album encompasses the songs that I wrote while meeting Jenny and then when she got sick and the entire town of Joshua Tree, where she has lived for almost 20 years, came to our aid as a family and as a new couple. And so I put together an album of all these songs, and then Jenny can talk about the book she put together.
And there were two books, because there was the big book, and
right.
Then there was the book of poetry.
Yes.
Was that...
So, I decided to do a second thing, for not just make a CD, but also make a book of collages. There's one for each song. So it was kind of another level of approaching the songs, doing it visually, and then putting the lyrics in that, and...
So which are poems in themselves.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And then, and then that comes with a download. So that's just another way to...
And does the whole thing tell a story?
I mean, it does, really. It tells the story of us meeting and...
Because the names, Sanctuary, Trouble, High Wire, Remember, the name is Trust and the High Wire. Trust, the spell, she's coming home. That was the good news. Ship's medicine and my friend. So right there, I've got a story.
Indeed. To know. Well, and the songs are pretty much chronological of how they happened and how the story happened. And we actually, so when we were here last summer, we interspersed the songs with bits of Jenny's book that she wrote, which is called Held Together.
Yeah, and that's a beauty.
Oh, just, did you get to see the book?
I did. You need to. Okay. Yeah, I know. We got to keep you both on the mic. So your lives were separate until, what, how many
until
years?
Until 6 years ago, 6.5 years ago.
6.5 years.
We actually just passed the day. It was yesterday when Jenny fell into a coma, 6 years ago.
And we were a new couple. So she had moved to Joshua Tree 2 months before I fell into a coma. And
what does that even mean, to fall into a coma?
Or had float you been, into the stars.
But had you been ill? Or
I went septic and went into septic shock. And so I was then hospitalized for 6 months while Michigan took care of our kid. And
wow. Health. Talk about bonding. I mean, really, that's
was,
a bit dramatic.
Yeah, it was a bit, just a bit.
It was a bit dramatic.
I'm a romantic, what can I say?
Wow. So it was pretty touch and go, wasn't it?
Oh, very much.
For a long time.
Yeah. 0 to 2% or something of that well, they kept giving my family. Yeah.
So, and you were an artist before?
I was playing guitar, as far as music goes, I was playing guitar and just starting to play with a fiddle. And then, you know, when I came back, I lost enough fingers and also some use of my hands. So I just picked up the cello and she became my friend.
I'm going to say, you went from, and it sounded as though the conclusion was going to be, so I couldn't play music anymore. However, anyone who lives here has already heard and seen Jenny playing cello. So I was wondering, so do you need fewer fingers to play cello?
It's what? The way that my arms could, I couldn't actually move my arm this way anymore. So the cello is
embraceable
kind of in a way. Yes, indeed. Embraceable.
Wow.
Good word.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was not even aware of your hands until just now.
Yeah.
Right. Your legs, yes, but not your hands. Yeah. So do you think that, talk about being a romantic, that the fact that this was a new relationship and a powerful situation, did that perhaps help?
She stuck around. I mean, that just says a lot about this very strong woman. Talk about a romantic.
Yeah. That was pretty amazing. And your daughter is how old now?
14.
14. Yeah. So she also stuck around.
Yeah.
And 14, she was younger then. That's good.
Yeah.
Because, but still.
It was hard for her.
It's an amazing story. Now, have you written music or poetry or other stuff since? When did this come out?
So this came out last summer.
Okay.
And then we did the tour where we combined the two.
Right.
So Jenny's book is actually a wildly collaborative piece of art. She wrote a lot of pieces in it, but also she collected submissions from all kinds of people, myself included, but a lot of Joshua Tree people and some of her family members and
folks.
Yeah. Well, what is Joshua Tree? Everyone loves Joshua Tree.
It's kind of amazing.
It's the desert's version of Astoria. It's a very tight and artistic community. And
is it an actual? Are there borders? Is it a town or a village?
It's kind of it's a village.
It's unincorporated.
Because I live also in an unincorporated village. And when people say, well, how many people? I go, I don't know.
Yeah.
Where's the border between Napa and Brownsmead? I don't know. So
it's very spread out and a lot of quirky and wonderful and hardy people
who have ended up there, come there. Mm-hmm. Well, we're certainly glad you were willing to part with Joshua Tree and come up here.
We fell in love with this place when we were through last summer.
All three of us,
Just kind of...
Really?
Oh,
wow.
Kind of reached out and grabbed us.
Interesting. Your daughter also loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Whew. That helps a lot.
Indeed.
So tell us what your concert tomorrow night, Mishkin, obviously, folks, you know by now, Mishkin is a singer, songwriter, poet, and Jenny, at this stage in her life, is a cellist. Do you write still as
well? I do. I write every morning, most mornings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jenny's also an herbalist.
And oh, that's my day job.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, and they walked in here and this delicious fragrance came. And I'm not big on, actually, I didn't tell you that, but I'm not big on perfumes and stuff. I usually start sneezing and things like that. But this was totally different and delicious. Mm. And Mishkin said, yeah, that's Jenny. It was Mishkin who smelled so good, but it was Jenny who made
it. I have her oil on.
There you go.
She has a shop in Joshua Tree called Grateful Desert that has its own aromatherapy bar.
Oh,
as
my.
Well as selling her tinctures.
So do you get to go back there?
Yeah.
Not during the summer, is that a time to
we might
go to
have
the desert?
To, because Yazzie's in school,
right?
And so that might be the time for us to spend time there. And
and what kind of temperature does it get to?
Too hot. It's getting hotter every year. It's been really alarming. It's longer and hotter those summers. Yeah.
Well, no worries about that here.
No.
At least not most of the
years. I'm so happy.
So tell us what's going to be tomorrow evening. Again, this is at Kala 1017 Marine Drive. You can get tickets at libertyastoria.org. Or if you're lucky, you can get tickets at the door, and the concert's at 8, opens at 7:30. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's going to be two sets, and we are just working up a show that's pretty dreamy, and it seems to be a lot about travel, movement, and...
Yeah. Well, I read original. I know it's going to be original. Postmodern blues. I'm not sure what that means.
I never know what to call my music, Carol. I just keep, you know, trying to come up with things that somehow might speak to what it does.
Mm-hmm. So the feeling is kind of bluesy.
Yeah. I mean, I spent 10 years in New Orleans, so there's definitely blues and trad jazz in what I do.
Right.
I like swing a lot, and but I'm also super inspired by music from all over the world. So
somebody might feel called upon to jump up and start dancing?
Well, it could happen.
It could happen.
Yes.
Okay. It could happen. Whatever. Now, is Dinah going to sing with you at all during the night?
You know, I wish.
Oh.
We should have worked that out. Maybe next time. Because we've been playing with her.
Yes.
We backed her up a couple times at a couple different events.
And that's why I think New Year's Eve.
That's right.
At the Columbian Theater.
Yeah. And Gay Pride.
And Gay Pride. Yeah, I've seen you a couple of times. Mm. Actually, I think Gay Pride was the first time. I was like, whoa. What is going on here? It was just gorgeous.
That was really fun. Yeah.
So it's going to be a beautiful concert, music and perhaps stories, and I'm sure they'll be willing to, I shouldn't say that. Will you be willing to engage the audience in, not during the concert necessarily, but in between?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. That's one of the beautiful parts about Kala. It's a very intimate setting.
I love the space.
And you can actually, not during the song, but, you know, in between, you can shout out a question.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And it's, and nobody minds. So, excellent. Well, I'm very, very pleased that you're living here, and that means we'll see and hear more of your music and your poetry and your cello. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow night's the first time. Do you have anything else lined up coming up soon?
Coming up, no.
Okay.
Not right at the moment.
But you'll keep us posted.
Of course we will.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you
Mishkin
so much for
Warbler
always.
And cellist Jenny Q with their original music, Kala, tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Carol. Thank you so much.
And coming up next, I've got some music from Vietnam for my next guest. Thanks for being here, folks.
Thank you.
well. Let's see if I can hear myself with only one earpiece. I'm certain I can hear you. My guest is Lum Quang, whom, again, everybody who lives here knows Lum because he and Kestrel are the two halves of Hi Hi. What's the full name of your business?
It's Hi Hi Lights.
Hi Hi Lights. That's pretty easy. I could have done that, I'm sure. And I spent several Sunday afternoons with Lum in the past few months with Oregon Humanities. And we talked about a lot of subjects. Is that where you got the inspiration to do this, or have you been thinking about it forever, but this kind of kicked
butt? This has been brewing for a while. I've been thinking about this and trying to figure out how to express myself. These thoughts and ideas have been brewing for, I would imagine, at least 10 to 15 years.
Oh, okay. That makes sense to me. Now let's tell people what you're doing. Now, I don't know if you came up with the title recently, but it was pretty powerful. So tell folks what's happening.
At first, I tried to watch stand-up comedy, and I thought that would be the way to do it. But the more I watch stand-up comedy, it's more about people coming up with jokes. It's not really be able to express myself to that. So I thought, well, it's more like a tragedy. So therefore, stand-up tragedy. The idea is to basically, I want to lay a ground. This is the groundwork for people to express themselves. So I am putting myself out there to be the first one to do so. My story is the story of coming from a war-torn country in Vietnam during the American War.
Yeah. And I'm not sure whether we should start with your story or first at least tell folks why Lum is here, because you know this is an event-driven show. On Thursday, a week from last night, in the same venue, actually, at Kala, Lum will be, and you're calling it a fireside chat? What do you have in mind?
That to kind of dampen the shocking effect of it. I do want it to be a more intimate atmosphere of more of a conversation with people than a show. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have a standoff as a performer versus an audience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I want to be more intimate and more interactive with people than being a far away mm-hmm. from the audience.
I want people
to ask questions. Mm-hmm. I want people to, if need be. But yeah, I wanted to definitely be more intimate and seeing people's
faces
up close.
And so you're calling it stand-up tragedy, retelling the stories of leaving a war-torn country, which would be Vietnam, and living the American dream, quote unquote. Air quotes I'm putting in there. So what can you give us a little bit of your story?
Well, I guess I'll try to give a little bit of a snippet and trying to keep it more for the show. Basically that I came over as a teenager, as age of 15, and with my mother and two younger brothers, and an American stepfather who sponsored and brought us to Michigan and went straight to high school without much English.
Oh my goodness.
Really? At all. So I didn't, so I had a summer to acclimate and, and my learning of the language of the culture was mostly through television.
Okay. Yeah. That seems to be a pretty common way of learning English too.
Right.
For better or worse. Were you the only Vietnamese student there?
Pretty much. I have a younger brother that went to school, but we had different classes. We had hardly any interactions. He started out more in the junior high, and then went straight to high school. And there was no ESL program at all, English as a second language at all, at the schools.
Wow.
And I think besides me and couple of Chinese students were the only non-American, I guess, that was in the school.
Was the school all white as well?
Mostly. Yeah. I went to three different high schools, so we moved around, and some of the school that has more black students, but mostly the school I went to were mostly white kids.
Did you leave? Now, remember, we're talking to a worldwide audience here. I hope people will come from all over for Thursday night at Kala, but I suspect it will mostly be local folks from Clatsop County, maybe across the river. So it would be good for everybody to hear some of your story, if you're ready to tell, whatever you're ready to tell. What was your situation when you left Vietnam?
Well, we were pretty lucky. My mom had her ways, and she had connections. And we left on basically the last plane to leave the airport. We were cramped up in a C-40, which is a cargo plane that was anybody that had connections and enough bribery money to get on that plane. So it was me, two younger brothers, and my mom, and cram into the floor of the plane with I'm not sure how many people. There was hundreds of people in that plane, and there was barely any room. I remember sitting down, and once I moved my foot, that space was gone.
Wow.
And I was cramped up. But that was very, very, very lucky.
What year was that?
It was April 29th, 1975.
Oh, God.
And the following day, basically the following morning, the North Vietnamese communists moved in and took over the city.
Wow.
So that was the situation. And after that was absolute chaos and helicopter lifts and boats and people. And
So on the one hand, it's a shock and a traumatic experience to leave, especially as a teenager. I was just talking to the parents of a teenager. And on the other hand, did you realize how lucky you were at that point to get out?
Yes and no. I didn't, I definitely felt really privileged that I was chosen to go, because we left three other siblings behind. There was a brother that was too young to not to be taken, but the reason I was chosen, because I was the closest to the drafting age at the time. The next couple of years, Vietnam went and fought against Cambodia, and so I would have been drafted and gone to war.
Right.
But so there was that brother and another older brother and two older sisters were left behind.
Have you been in touch with them? Did they get to come to you?
Yeah, there's the youngest, that younger brother came over, and my sister and her family came over eventually.
Mm-hmm. So then you get here, and holy cow, had you heard the expression, the American dream?
schools were a blur because I was trying so hard to learn the language,
mm-hmm.
and it was really difficult to understand and to be able to express myself in those years. Of course, I didn't really wouldn't be able to express myself, but in learning and trying to doing schoolwork, and it was an absolute blur because I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't really get much help from anybody else, really. And you know, I was quite determined to learn. At some point, I remember using because Vietnamese is very choppy, so the word
Could you give us a sentence in Vietnamese?
We don't have an SH sound, so the word she is more like a C.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to express myself using those, it was very difficult, and some people would try to make fun of me, but there were people that just, they couldn't understand. It was a very frustrating, there's many frustrating years of trying to learn. I remember sticking marbles in my mouth and trying to pronounce these words. I guess it works.
I guess it did work. Something worked because your English is excellent now. So, when did the art come in? Were you always a creative, artistic child, or?
Oh no, I've never done any creativity. I've never had any inclination to do any artwork at all until basically almost into my 30s.
Oh my goodness! Oh.
I went to school and finally made. Through school and eked out of college, eked out of high school and made it to college. And I went to University of Houston to do computers, and that was my world. That was my American dream there. I did that for a while, for a good 5 years, and started meeting some artist friends that really opened up my world to come to the realization that being in the business world was not what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It was boring. The people I met was just, there was, you know, there were interesting people, but there was no life other than just working and working. So that's kind of opened up my world, and then eventually didn't know how to get out, but I did get fired from the job
So, and we won't take too much time on this, but because people need to come, this is Thursday again, the 23rd, 7 p.m. at Kala, 1017 Marine Drive. When did you start making paper? And making the lights, is the making of paper something traditional or?
Well, not exactly. There was I remember growing up, part of our new moon celebration, the harvest festival, harvest moon festival that we carry, kids get to carry lanterns around,
right.
But the paper making was to an inspiration from a friend of a friend who I saw a piece of paper made, and eventually when I was another career of working as a cook at a restaurant, and that wasn't going anywhere either. So I started to make paper out of remembering that paper was somebody had made, and I started just playing around with paper making, and it just kind of really took off from there.
And how long have you been in Astoria, you and Kiss?
It's been a little bit more than 7 years now.
Okay. You were in Portland for how long before?
Yeah, I was in Portland for about 20 years.
Okay.
That's why I started the lighting business.
And folks can see your lights if you live around here. They're all over the place, but if you live around here, if you just happen to be on Exchange, down by the hospital in the OHSU cancer facility, you can see the lights from outside, and they're absolutely gorgeous. You can also see them. Where are some other places in town?
At the co-op, at the new
co-op.
No co-op,
right?
And mostly most of our work are in residential
humans. Homes. So, come in here, Lum's story, stand-up tragedy, retelling the stories of leaving a war-torn country. There is so much to the story, and living the American dream. And this will be a conversation. So we'll have a chance to do, you'll have a chance to do what I've been doing just now, ask questions. And then see what Lum wants to share with us. And I'm really looking forward to this. So, and shout out to all our humanities friends. I hope they're able to come and join us too. So,
thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm pretty nervous about this, but...
it's going to be great.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
It's going to be great. And I like the way you've formatted it in a space. It'll be a friendly crowd. So.
Yes.
Good. Thanks so much. Lum Quang.
Afraid to hold on. Afraid to let go. Afraid to find out, but afraid not to know. Afraid of what's broken, but still doesn't show. These are dangerous times to love. Afraid of the sky. Afraid of the wind that will carry the night. Afraid of bad news from the satellite. These are dangerous times to love. We do not stand together. We can find no solid ground. All of our songs are forever. Now have an empty sound.
You recognize the voice? It's Harry Belafonte. Yeah. A lot of times we only associate him with certain pieces, but He is amazingly diverse in his music and in his life, which you may learn more about Sunday, this Sunday, 2 p.m. at the Liberty Theater. Is a documentary about Harry Belafonte because, yeah, he was a huge civil rights worker involved in the movement. Sing Your Song. It's at 2 o'clock at the Liberty Theater celebrating, commemorating Martin Luther King Day. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I want to introduce my next guest, and that is the Reverend Betty McWhorter, who is the new leader of the Grace Episcopal Church. And I understand, first I want to welcome you. How long have you been here?
I came in September.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, and I have seen you at a couple of things, actually.
Yes.
But I'm not sure you were wearing your collar at that time.
Okay.
So I might not have recognized you. The reason you're here today is that the church is having a concert on Sunday also. Yes. Same time as the film. Yes, of course. What else in Astoria? It's at 2 p.m., but this is a live concert, not a film, with Ray Utterback on the 1905 pipe organ with over 750 pipes. Are you an organ person yourself?
My gift is listening and appreciating organ music.
Yeah, me too.
I love that.
That's good. There are noises happening, and I don't know where they're coming from, but I think they're in my head because I'm hearing those organ pipes, not to mention theater coming up after that. So has the church done many concerts on the organ?
I know there have been a couple in recent years, but before that I really don't know. So this is music from six centuries on this grand organ, and there would be two organists presenting and a soprano also singing an aria from one of Bach's cantatas. And there'll be a reception afterwards, so a lovely.
Lovely, yeah.
Sunday afternoon.
With a tour. Beautiful.
Yes.
Especially since it's no doubt going to be raining. That's a great way
yes.
to spend the day listening. You also, now you've been here since September, but you've been part of hosting some of the art in
yes.
the gallery.
Yes, we have an art gallery in the church that we rotate different artists through. And right now we've just opened on Sunday with Denise Monahan. And so her work is displayed, and the church is open every Monday through Friday from 9 to 12. You can come see it or call and make an appointment. But lovely, lovely work.
I love that because I go there to that space. As a matter of fact, KMUN used to have our annual meetings in that space. And whenever I go, there's always art hanging.
Yes.
The whole wall is
the
full.
The whole wall.
And different artists, local artists.
Yes.
And that's a real gift to the community. So
it
I
is, and we'd like
that.
More people to come in and enjoy. Yeah.
So again, when can people get in?
For the art, it's open Monday through Friday, 9 to 12,
oh,
and
that's
then of
fair.
Course you can call or Sundays more open,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And other times.
Good. And Grace is my what is it? 1545
Franklin.
That. Is embedded in my head because of the annual meetings there. So,
yes.
Are you here for a while? Do you have a sense? Where did you come from? I mean, I didn't even know you were here. And suddenly.
I live in McMinnville. My husband and I live in McMinnville.
Okay.
But I'm here 4 days a week to serve the church.
Okay.
And I'll be here for a while.
Is that something that the Episcopal Church does, is kind of move people around? Or?
Well, no, not really. I mean, as we get a call to a church, we move around.
But had you been to Astoria before?
Not until I came to interview in late August. So it's been quite a joy to be here.
Good. Well, I did read once that McMinnville was one of the most highly thought of cities in the country. McMinnville? But here we are. And now you're here in Astoria.
Yes. Yes.
And it's working out well.
Yes, it is.
It's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the concert on Sunday is free. So you can just come and enjoy. We will take donations because we're trying to keep this 1905 organ up and running with the 700 and something pipes.
Are you from the Maryland, Philadelphia area?
We moved here from the New York area. And I had lived in, we'd also lived in Washington, D.C.
I'm just listening to you say one. You said that a couple of times, and the accent is, I'm doing my Henry Higgins trace around. So, folks, this is happening this Sunday at 2 p.m. And the music, why don't you give us that rundown? You said
six centuries from the 16th century through the 21st. There's 13 different composers, male and female. They come from, the composers are German and French, English, Polish, American, Estonia.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous music.
German, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be just a lovely, lovely trip through wonderful music.
And the soprano is Barinas Jones Centeno, if I'm not
correct.
Who happens to be an opera programmer here.
Yes.
At KMUN. And her husband, Vincent Centeno, is he going to be?
He's playing, he's accompanying her on the piano. Organist also.
Oh,
and
boy,
what
a nice, you have good,
yes, we have lots of wonderful music.
Yeah.
And Bernice is singing My Heart Ever Faithful from Bach's Cantata number 68.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
2 o'clock on Sunday. Go ahead, folks. You figure it out how to be in two places at one time. This is Grace Episcopal Church, 1545 Franklin. Thank you so much
for
coming
you.
In.
Thank you.
And say hello to Reverend Betty McWhorter, who will be there, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. I'm going to, because we don't have much time, I'm going to let her slip away if she wishes, or you may stay, and bring up my last two guests who are here with a revival of an extraordinary, intense performance of Betrayal by Harold Pinter, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, how could it be anything but extraordinary and intense? It's happening at the 1015 Theater. What? You say? Yes, the 1015 Theater, which is at 1015 Commercial. Derek Moore, the one-man show. Yes. He has to make all the decisions. So if you want to do anything there, talk to Derek. And this is the former home of Peer Pressure Productions. Susie and Derek put together the concept, the theater, and now Derek is moving it right ahead. And with Derek is his co-star, Katrina Goddards.
Hello.
And the two of them. And who else is in that play?
And Stephen Wood is the third actor.
Right, Stephen Wood, who actually is across the river, so
he's at work right now, so he couldn't join us.
Yes, actually, Katrina has a full-time job too, and Derek does too. Believe it or not, these people somehow or other manage because they know it's imperative to fit the arts into it. The play was done when? I saw it, but when was that?
August of last summer. We did it as the Liberty Players in the McTavish Room at the Liberty Theater.
Okay, so that's not that long ago, no. August. Did you have to have some pickup rehearsals, though?
Yeah.
Is that
5 months is just long enough to get a little rusty. But it wasn't. I think it was. We all found it quite unusual. So it's directed by Sen Incavo, and I went to him and said, Sen, do you think... Cause we only got to do 3 shows at the Liberty. We worked the whole thing up, and we loved it. And we were just getting going, and then it was like...
It's over.
was over. Yeah. So I said, could we remount this? Mm-hmm. Same actors, same director, just different location. And mm-hmm. he said, yeah, that'd be great. And he had never done that. I hadn't done it.
I've never done it, no.
None of us had ever done that before. So that was
just
a
pick up the show and move
five
it
over. 5 months later, yeah, same costumes. Same show with everything.
Same set, yeah. same everything.
And timing is so important in this play.
Yes.
The interactions among the three of you.
Yeah.
I remember the play. I can picture your faces in this production. It was...
We're hoping that people who saw it before will want to see it again because there was a lot in it. It was very intense.
It goes backwards in time from the end of something to the beginning. And so even we who've rehearsed it over and over again and talked about it, we still are like, oh, yeah, because they already knew. And,
right, exactly.
And this is when they... So there's a lot of that. And I think seeing it again is nice.
It's interesting. I was going to ask you how it feels as a performer because I know as an audience member, we had a little program, and it gave the dates.
And you will again.
Good.
It's sort of important to track that
it's
as
imperative
you're watching the show.
Because otherwise it's, I don't understand how could this be. But I don't know, I don't remember if I've seen another play that was so, it's not like a musical. This is three human beings up there, and it's a quite a human drama well,
very much.
And unfolds. I highly recommend it. I would not recommend it for children. For mature teenagers, perhaps, but probably with adults as well. There's adult content. Anything else you want to tell us about the actual play?
Well, when it came out, it was written in 1978, and when it came out, according to Sen, it was one of the first plays to do this going backward thing. And I think it took sort of the Broadway by surprise. Like, what's going on? What? This is all weird. And I think that's one of the reasons that made it so interesting. And the funny thing is, if you go chronologically, the very last thing that happens is not that exciting. But when you go and you start at the beginning, when you see the ending of the play as the beginning, it's a really good ending. And it's it like brings everything together. And I think just that nature of the way things are exposed to you makes your brain do a little twist. But it's fun to follow.
Yeah, I was going to say it's very clever. And you do need to pay attention. Yeah. You will want to pay attention. Mm-hmm. The acting is excellent.
Thank you.
And Katrina, when did you start acting? I mean, on stage.
Well, I did theater years and years ago when I was in high school. I did a little bit in college and then shortly a little bit after in community theater. And then I took a long hiatus for education. And then I really didn't start doing theater again until I moved to Astoria. Actually, my first play I had done in about 10 years or so was down at the Coaster. My sister, who used to do sets for the Coaster Theater, she said, oh, you should audition for this play. It would be great. And so I went and did and ended up getting a role down there. And I've done three plays at the Coaster since. And I can't stop now.
Yeah.
I'm in too deep. It's too much fun. We love doing this play.
Yeah.
When Derek and Sen were like, you know, we should do it again, all of us were immediately like, yes, when? I'll do it. You tell me when and where. I'm there.
Well,
I'm in costumes.
Let's be sure to tell people when and where. I told you where. 1015 Theater, the new name, and it is at 1015 Commercial. Mm-hmm. You can't forget it. Now, when is tonight?
Yay!
It's opening night.
Tonight
and tomorrow night at 7:15, the tradition at this theater.
Pay attention to the 15.
Yes. And then Sunday, a 2:15 performance that lets you out.
That's three things.
Yeah, I know.
Three things on my show today that are all happening. Anyway, and then next weekend, the same.
Same. Friday, Saturday,
Friday,
Sunday.
Saturday at 7:15 and Sunday at 2:15.
Yep.
I'm not sure, since you've done the play already, whether I should say it, but I will. Break a leg, although I don't know. That phrase, I know what it means, but it's
because every play needs a cast.
Yeah. Oh, no. God. And every person who breaks a leg might need an ER doctor.
Oh, hush now.
Carol, can I say one thing, too? We just got a new website up.
Oh, please.
And
yes.
It's just
what is it?
the 1015 TenFifteen.com, and that's all spelled out, TenFifteen. Okay. TheTenFifteen.com.
So no you theater, can, you don't have to know how to spell theater.
No worries about the, which where the R lands.
Right, exactly.
But you can actually get tickets online. So you can go online ahead of time and buy tickets there, and then just bring your ID, and we'll be able to mark you off on the list or at the door.
Okay, great. Okay, that is tonight. And that's it. We are out of time. Thank you so much for
coming in. Thank you, girl.
Katrina Goddard and Derek Moore. And we, you got plenty to choose from, folks. And I'm going to tell you what else you may want to choose. And this is tonight, the Astoria Library, yes, at 7 o'clock is Perspicuity, which are two KMUN programmers, that would be Jerry Middaugh, Thursday Folk, and Joanne Rideout, Ship Report. And then Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum, earlier in Owako from 5 to 7, Damian Mullenix's Hometown Teams. That's running through March 14th. Southwester has, from 6 to 9, has an art opening, Water and Wood, not to be confused with Stephen Wood, who's acting in the play. That's Sam Montagna. And the Columbia River Maritime Museum at 7, and then all day tomorrow, Introduction to Wood Carving. Tomorrow, Saturday, Crown Alley Irish Pub has Steve Frost, who'll be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center on Wednesday. INCO, that's Indivisible, North Coast, Oregon, at the Lovell Room all day. From early morning until about 2:30, it is the third annual summit, How We Win. Please come join us. We need it. We need each other. Following that at 3 o'clock, bring your umbrellas just in case. There is about a mile walk around town, and we are celebrating many things. How We Win, also the Women's March, also Martin Luther King Day, and Kala, Michigan and Jenny, Michigan Warbler and Jenny Q is at 8 o'clock. Also, Southwester Little Sioux at 8 o'clock. Fort Clatsop, Jennifer Burns Bright, What Did Lewis and Clark Eat? And Hoffman has the Green Art Show at 1 o'clock. 4 o'clock, Manzanita Writers Series. Sunday, yep, that's the day. Harry Belafonte at the Liberty, Grace Episcopal Church Concert, and the performance of Betrayal. And there's also Fisher Poets at the Cannon Beach Library at 2 o'clock. In the evening, Fort George is having a fabulous Norwegian group, Sfair. And Monday, Pacific Story Slam starts. Man, that is going to be so much fun. It's happening at the North Beach Tavern on Monday. And then on Wednesday at the Workers' Tavern in Astoria, that was Long Beach on Monday. Wednesday is Astoria. Thursday is Seaside at Maggie's on the Prom.